Reading from John 4. So he came again to Cana in Galilee, where he had made the water wine. And at Capernaum there was an official whose son was ill. When this man heard that Jesus had come from Judea to Galilee, he went to him and asked him to come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. So Jesus said to him, "Unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe." The official said to him, "Sir, come down before my child dies." Jesus said to him, "Go, your son will live." The man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him and went on his way. And as he was going down, his servants met him and told him that his son was recovering. So he asked them the hour when he began to get better. And they said to him, "Yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him." The father knew that was the hour when Jesus had said to him, "Your son will live." And he himself believed, and all his household. This was the second sign that Jesus did when he came from Judea to Galilee. This is the word of the Lord.
Would you please pray with me? Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, thank you for being a God who draws us to yourselves in faith. Thank you for being a God who doesn't give up, who conquers the hardness of our heart. Father, we pray that you would give us faith to hear, faith to receive, and faith to go forth because of the word that you give us this morning in this text. Father, help us to receive your word. Help us to be those who sit under your word and who delight that it is constantly and consistently true for our lives. Change us, O Lord, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The crux of our text this morning, again, Jesus said to him, "Go, your son will live." The man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him and went on his way. Faith takes Jesus at his word. Faith takes Jesus at his word. Now, the challenge for us sometimes is it's hard to take people at their word, isn't it? It's been a few months ago, but not long ago, I bought a new car. Well, at least new to me, a new used car, but it was new to me. We had been riding around in my old truck. You know, we're in Texas. You got to have an old truck. And so it had come to the point that it was difficult to get everybody around in my 1996 Chevy. And so I began to look for a family compatible car. And so we found one. A little Nissan Maxima, 2014. So I began to wheel and deal because, you know, I want to have the lowest price and the lowest payment. And so I had done my homework. I had gone and looked at what we could do, what we could afford, what was best for us. And I had begun to look at what we could pay down and what we might need to take. And I was talking to a bank. And the guy on the other deal, I already had a good deal, the guy on the other end promised me the best deal. And so I told him what interest rate I had, and he said, no problem, we can match that, we can do this, we can give you these terms. I said, all right, I'd like to see that in writing. So, we wait, this is all over the phone, I get it, and I notice when I get it in writing, it's not what we had discussed. Now, if you know me a little bit, you know my family likes to call me the big teddy bear. But one thing you don't want to do is you don't want to poke the bear. And so this guy, he had poked the bear. He was a couple of tenths off of what he had said, so I called him back. And Dwayne and I were having a conversation on the phone, and I was talking to him, and he said, no, sir, I didn't say that. You misunderstood me. I said, y'all tape all these calls, right? I need you to go back and listen to the phone call we had day before yesterday. He went off and talked to a supervisor, and he came back and said, yes, sir, we can do that. We can get that interest rate that we were talking about, and we'll say, I'd like to see it in writing. Would you send me the paperwork? So we send him the paperwork back. I see the interest rate. The interest rate is right. Now he's changed the terms. So I call him back, Dwayne. I would like to be friends with you, Dwayne, but we seem to have a communication problem here. I'm having a hard time taking you for your word. I might need to go another way here unless we can get this right. Well, it turned out that maybe Dwayne was just overwhelmed. He seemed like a nice enough guy. But that inner lawyer inside me began to prosecute Dwayne. It was hard to take Dwayne at his word. Why? Because inside my heart, inside the heart of the pastor, there is this heart of cynicism that finds it hard to trust. You ever find it difficult to trust another? You ever need it in writing, clear and legal and straightforward? Is it hard to take family members at their word? Bosses at their word? Relationships and community at their word? Salespeople at their word? Do you ever struggle to take another at their word? One of the commercials I love in our community is by a local roofer. He's trying to differentiate himself from all the other roofers in town. He promises a bulletproof roof. He promises to take care of his warranties. And one of the things he always says is, trust but verify. Y'all ever heard that commercial? You must trust but verify. You know, that's the heart we have, isn't it? You know, we would like to say that we are trusting people. But aren't we always testing? Don't we always necessitate that someone must verify? And the reason that is because we've been hurt before, haven't we? We have been in relationship with people who haven't kept their word. People who've made promises. And then to find out that promise that they made that sounded so good was too good to be true. You ever had that promise, that word given to you, that promise made to you, only to find that there are strings attached? Free. No interest. You go to the furniture store, and there you say, you know, they tell you, you know, just buy it, you know. No interest. No interest whatsoever. But be sure to read the fine print. Because there's no interest for a first year. If you pay it off in the first year, you're just fine. But if you don't pay it off in the first year, you get all the interest plus 18%. Well, that seems like hidden strings attached there a little bit, doesn't it? You know, sometimes there are people that we deal with that just shade the truth a little bit. What they say is true, but they haven't said all that needs to be said. And so there breaks into our heart this sense of cynicism as well. Do you ever share the cynicism of the pastor about the trustworthiness and the faithfulness of others around you? I mean, even if it's Aggies, we have to have a code, right? Aggies don't lie. What else do they not do? And they don't? All right. I knew some of y'all had at least read it, but we got to have a code, don't we? We don't lie, steal, or We don't lie, cheat, or steal. But still, deep down in our hearts, we know. We know that there's the possibility, isn't there? You know, sometimes it's hardest to trust others because if we're honest with ourselves, we know that we're not all that trustworthy at times as well, aren't we? You know, the hardest thing to do to give grace to another about is the very thing that you struggle with yourself. And there are times when we aren't faithful with our words, when we aren't truthful with the intentions of our heart, where we miss the mark. Oh, it's so much easier to see in others, isn't it? So much easier to see that there are times when others haven't kept their word, and so it's hard to trust them with their word. But there are moments when that's true about us as well, where we struggle to keep our word. But I've got something for you this morning. Something from God's Word. There is one who always keeps His Word. And faith necessitates that we take Jesus at His Word. I'm not saying it's easy. I'm not saying there aren't times that it's not tried and tested. It is. But I will promise you that whatever God promises, you may take as truth from His Word, from His character, by faith necessitates that we take God, that we take Jesus Christ at His word. And here's the beauty of faith. God necessitates dependence in our life. You need someone who has a bigger view of all of life than you have. You need someone who understands the direction of your days better than you do. You need someone who's not just as you trust Him day by day by faith, who is not just at work day by day, but who is at work moment by moment in your life. You need faith in Jesus. Again and again, this is a constant theme that resides in Scripture from the beginning of its pages to the end, that we must take Jesus at His word, by faith. And I want you to see one example of that this morning. In the ministry of Jesus here, in this man, this official who comes before Jesus, who is desperate, in need of Jesus, and how Jesus helps him in the experience of his faith. Jesus necessitates that this official take him at his word. Notice it here in our text this morning, because faith takes Jesus at its word, at His word. We understand that faith is required. Faith is essential. Notice in our text, it begins there in verse 46. So He came, that's Jesus, came again to Cana in Galilee, where He had made water into wine. Now, it's important there because we are today completing kind of the first structural narrative in the Gospel of John, the first ministry subset in John's accounting of Jesus' Gospel. You'll remember that Jesus started His public ministry here in Cana. Mom comes to Him, says, "Hey, there's not enough wine. There needs to be wine. Why don't you make some wine?" Jesus says, "Woman, what's the matter with you?" But He does it, right? Jesus, He does His first miracle there in John chapter 2. And so from John chapter 2 to John chapter 4, you get this Cana wraparound. You get this picture where the fame of Jesus is beginning to rise. These folks had seen Jesus in Cana. They had followed Him and they had seen Him in Jerusalem. And now Jesus has come back to Cana. He's coming back home, so to speak. He's just a few miles from Nazareth, where He grew up. And a prophet doesn't have much honor in his own hometown. Jesus has just told us that. But the people of Galilee have begun to welcome Him. But they've begun to welcome Him, we begin to see. They have begun to welcome Him because they want Him to do for them what they want Him to do. Sound like anybody you know? You ever relate that to God? I want you, Jesus, to do what I want you to do. I want you to do for me what I need. We can even put it in desperate language, right? We can put it in desperate language. I want you to do for me what I need you to do for me right now. And we get such a picture. Now you gotta have some kindness in your heart for this man, right? Here's a guy. An official, we're told in the text. We're not told exactly an official of what, but most commentators believe that this was an official in Herod's court. So this is a man of means. This is a man who has everything you want. He has everything he wants, but at this moment he would give it all away for the well-being of a son. He's got it all. And yet in this moment he has nothing because his heart is desperate for his son. And so he comes from Capernaum to Cana, 25 miles, a 25-mile trek, a little harder in that day than it is in our day to cover 25 miles. But he makes the journey. He hears that Jesus is in Cana. He comes before Jesus. And what does he do? He asks Jesus to come home with him. Come. Son's near death. You see that there in the text, don't you? And when this man heard that Jesus had come from Judah to Galilee, he went to him and asked him to come down and heal his son who was at the point of death. You see, faith is required. Faith is necessary. Faith is essential. And Jesus knows that what's crucial for this official is what's crucial for you. Jesus is not a vending machine. But He does care deeply for humanity. He does care deeply for His people. But notice there's a little rebuff here from Jesus. The guy comes and he beseeches Jesus to come. And he needs to draw out faith in this guy. So not only is faith essential, faith is evoked in our text. Notice there in verse 48. And Jesus said to him, unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. Unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. I mean, Jesus running down the field, and he just gives him the Heisman. Rebuffs him, pushes him back, just to see what this guy will do. You know, he comes to this guy, whose heart is desperate in need for his son, and he says, what do you want? You want a sign, or you want me? You want a miracle? You want Jesus? Now, that's an important question for us this morning as well. You know, oftentimes people start by coming to God to seek what God can do for them. But oftentimes in our heart, we want the momentary rather than the eternal. We want what's right in front of us rather than what really should consume us for all of life. And so this man needs something more than just the healing of his son. Does he need that? Yes. But he needs more than that. Jesus says to him, in front of a crowd of people who have hearts just like him, you want signs. But the real question is here, do you want Jesus? And Jesus said to him, unless you see signs and wonders, you will not believe. It's very interesting here. Notice how the official responds. The official, how does he respond? Sir, come down with me. My child, come down with me before my child dies. And it's kind of interesting there. You know, he could have tried to pull rank on Jesus, couldn't he? Do you know who I am? Do you understand who it is that's asking you to make the 25-mile journey with you? I mean, I'm a man of some prominence and importance in this region. You don't want to get on my bad side, Jesus. Now, he could have pulled rank on him. That's not what he does, is it? He could have played the sorry card. You know, I'm just desperate. I don't know what to do. Could you just help me? He could have groveled. It's not what he does. He could have been skeptical when Jesus responded to him. You just want signs. We believe. He could have responded with, yeah, I'd heard about you, but this is about what I expected from you. You only do the things that are easy for you, right, Jesus? He could have responded in any of those ways, but no, notice how he responds here. I think there's a real note of humility in the request. Please come down with me before my child dies. What's Jesus doing there? Jesus is evoking a faith that trusts, a faith that believes, because he knows more than the man knows. He knows that the man needs healing for his child, but he also needs healing for his soul. And isn't that what we see in the text? Isn't it the beautiful way God moves? Faith often meets us where we are, but it gives us so much more than we see that we need. Not only is faith experienced in the physical healing for the child, faith is experienced in the spiritual healing of a whole family. Notice in our text here how Jesus goes to work. There in verse 50, after he's asked that Jesus come down, faith is experienced. Jesus said to him, go, your son will live. And we're told in verse 50, the man believed the word that Jesus spoke to him and went on his way. It's beautiful there. You know, he had come to retrieve Jesus and to take Jesus back. But at the word of Jesus, he believed and he went on his way. You see, the man took Jesus at his word by faith. And then the journey begins. As he is journeying back, some servants who were delighted to be able to report to him what has happened, they meet him along the way and they say to him that his son is healed. And then the man begins to question, what time was he healed? Well, it was yesterday at about the seventh hour. When you're enjoying lunch today, 1 p.m., he says to him, it was yesterday about the seventh hour. And the man, the official, knew that was the moment that Jesus had spoken the words. And then I love this part of the text. I love this part of the text right here in verse 53. The father knew that it was the hour when Jesus had said to him, your son will live. And he himself believed, and all his household. You know, there's this sense in the text that we need to understand that the way to increase faith is to express faith. The way to increase faith is to express faith. You know, there are moments when we really don't have the faith it takes to believe. But what do? We just humble ourselves and get before Jesus. We can't do what Jesus can do for us, but we just trust where we can trust. And we ask Jesus to add to that which we have. It's dependence upon God that Jesus desires here. It's dependence upon God that is needed here. You know, that's the beauty. It's the beauty of the Christian life. Faith experienced. It must be expressed to be increased. We all need to have our faith increased. Would anybody agree with me? Who in here needs more faith for the day? If you got your hand up, you're right. If you don't got your hand up, you might not be asking the right questions yet. We need more faith for the day. And we need faith in Jesus. But where is faith increased? It's increased in the crucible. It's increased in the tough moments in life. One of the things that we need to realize is that God can leverage our worst moments for His best outcomes. God can leverage our hardest times for His greatest joys to be experienced in our lives. And that doesn't always mean winning. Here there's a delight, the child is saved. But if you run to Hebrews 11, you find there that there is this sense in which winning or losing, the battle, the joy, the journey is all about living by faith. As a matter of fact, I love it. I mean, I think most of us in this room at least, many of us in this room would have quoted a number of times in our days that definition of faith that's found in Hebrews 11. Now faith, Hebrews 11:1. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. We love that statement. God's at work. But I love the verse just before it. Have you ever noticed the verse just before Hebrews 11:1? As the author of Hebrews has been talking about the full assurance of faith and the blood and the final work of Jesus, he says these words, "But we are not those who shrink back and are destroyed, but of those who have faith and preserve the soul." We are not those who shrink back. We're those who trust. You know, I think the thing this man needs, and I think the thing that you and I need most from the text this morning, is that while life is not easy, God is good amidst the difficulties of our life. And He can leverage the hardest points in your life for His best. It necessitates faith. Faith is essential. And as God takes us through our days, He draws that faith out. What little trust we can muster is a gift from His grace. But what little trust we can muster, He begins to build on. He begins to increase that we experience by faith. The fullness of God. I don't want to tell you that every event ends in victory this side of heaven. But every event does end in the victory of Christ, whose blood covers our sin and whose blood transforms our life and whose blood is taking us beyond what we can experience now. Physically, spiritually, our God is bringing wholeness and healing to His people. This morning, wherever you are in your journey with Jesus, whether you haven't begun and you've just got good questions, welcome, we're glad you're here. Or you've been journeying with Jesus for years and you're still trying to figure out, what is He at work doing in my life? I want you to know, He is trustworthy. He is able. You, by faith, can take Jesus at His word. Simply what the text means for us to see this morning is that you can count on God. You can count on God for what you need, for what your children need, for what your grandchildren need, or for some of those you hope to have one day. You can count on God for the marriage you want and don't yet have, or the singleness that He's called you to in the midst of challenging life. You can count on God for the job that stresses you out and you feel like you're not big enough for. You can count on God every place He put you. You know, it's freeing to know there are things you can't do, and there are things that God must do for you. There might be grief deep in your heart right now that you don't know how to handle, but I will tell you, there is a God who knows your grief and knows how to put it in place. Here's the beauty of faith that takes God at His word. You learn that you can count on God. You see, the best relationships are built on faith. The best relationships are built on truth. You build a good relationship. You know, if I'm late, 15 minutes late coming home, I don't expect my wife to say, "Where have you been? Why are you late?" I hope that there's enough credibility in our relationship that I will walk in and she will say, "Did something come up? You're a little late." I mean, it's all right for her to ask me why I'm late. But I would love for her to have enough faith, trust, and optimism, confidence in our relationship to believe that I'm just not out doing whatever I want, that maybe something has happened. You see, good relationships are built upon trust. If my kids don't make it in on time, the thing that could happen in a father's heart is to believe there are all kinds of mischief, but relationship is built on trust. I have to extend trust to them and encourage their hearts to be faithful and true. I'm not always trustworthy. My kids are not always trustworthy. But God is always trustworthy. And it's important for you to know this morning, young and old, boy and girl, male and female, married or not, everyone in the room lives by faith, hour by hour, day by day, year by year. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, every day of your life, you're called to live by faith. The point is to place your faith where faith is best utilized. And there is no one you can take at His word more than Jesus. And so this morning, I call you to trust Him. I call you to align your life with His, to align your will with His, to place your faith there. I think for some of us, faith is like this. It's not that we don't want to have faith. It's that we want to have some control of that. And so one of the things that's true about faith is that faith aligns us with God. Our will with His will. It's not just bumping up against God. The goal is that our life would be aligned with His purposes for us. That there would be this sense in which we are trusting. And where we don't know, we trust all the more. Like a hand to a hand, our lives are aligned with the will and purposes of Jesus. You see, as faith grows, so goes life. His name was Adoniram Judson. Anybody ever heard of Adoniram Judson? Great missionary to the people of Burma. Decades and decades ago, he felt called to the mission field. He and his family, and they went to Burma. And his first 8 years in Burma were very difficult. He didn't see a single convert. Didn't have one person of the Burmese people who received the gospel of Jesus Christ. He became known as one who was a kind of an outlaw. He was not well taken by the government. And there were times to persecute his faith that he would be thrown in jail. At one point, he had a letter that came. His wife daily, when he was in jail, his wife would bring to him food that she would hand through the bars, the small bars in the cell. She would give him food each day, and they would talk and they would pray and they would discuss scripture together to encourage his soul. One day she came from home. She came with a letter. She said, "The people, our supporters back home, they're praying for you and they want to know what they can do to help." Adoniram Judson said, "Have them send a communion set. One day, we're going to need a communion set so that we can share communion with the harvest that God's going to bring among this people." No way he could have seen what God was going to bring. And in that country today, There are thousands upon hundreds of thousands of people who by faith call Jesus Lord. Why? Because one was held in the grips of God's grace and gospel to hold forth what was true. As faith goes, life goes. And he held on to the promises of God. You know, there is this sense in which as we walk with Jesus, there will be trials. But Jesus is enough. Healing or no healing. The healing we need is the healing of the soul that rests deeply upon Jesus. This life robs, but the gospel gives. And there's the heart of the believer, one who trusts in the great gifts that Jesus has for you. The best gift of the gospel is Jesus himself. And the greatest need of your heart is Jesus himself. So trust the one who gives himself. Jesus gives healing for a boy in this text. But the beauty of the gospel is that Jesus gives himself. Faith is essential. Faith is at work in us because God is at work in us. And faith is experienced when we depend not on our ingenuity, but on the finished work of Jesus. In a perfect life, in a perfect death, in a resurrection that holds fast. Friend, you need a day-by-day faith because God is at work moment by moment in your life. Whatever he's doing now, by faith, he is leveraging for his best in your heart and in your life. Trust him. Please pray with me. Our Father in heaven, we need more than ourselves. Would you help us to do what we're not easy and capable of doing oftentimes in our lives? Would you help us to trust? Send your Spirit. Inflame our hearts. And give us faith to trust you. That in dependence we may know that trust and closeness with you are a gift from you, our God. Father, hold us fast in the love of Christ. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.